today as we come to the table.
We need to be diligent to seek the Lord and say, God, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to do things in my own strength and in my own flesh. I don't want all this wood, hay, and stubble. I mean, I've got this image, I think, of all the years I've tried to do things in my own strength. And I don't want, they've probably got this huge pile of stuff around me. I probably look like Chip's cage. You know, and then when God breathes out, it's all going to burn up. And there's going to be like me there with this like little sparkler or snapping pop. God, woo, that's going to be it. You know, it's going to be like, this is what I did by the Spirit? You know, it's going to be scary, I'm afraid. And so I seek God and say, God, please don't let me do these things in my flesh. Let me do this by the Spirit. And yet, how many of us set out to do something for God?
Are you feeling lost or unsure of your purpose? Do you feel like you're just going through the motions of life without any real direction? In today's message, Pastor Mark talks about how chasing after God isn't a one-time event. It's a lifelong commitment that will give us greater purpose. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Many of us spend our lives chasing after things that ultimately leave us feeling empty inside. You pursue careers, relationships, and possessions, thinking that they will bring you happiness and fulfillment, only to find that they don't. But when you seek God, you discover joy and contentment that can't be found anywhere else. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
I want to look at this passage in two different ways today. First of all, I want to look at Abraham's sacrifice for God, and then we're going to shift gears and look at Palm Sunday and look at God's sacrifice for us. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this time in His Word. Father, we thank You, God, for bringing us here. We thank You, Lord, for this day that we celebrate, You riding into Jerusalem, declaring Yourself the King of Israel, the King of the world, and the Messiah of God. And Lord, we celebrate that, but all the more we celebrate Your sacrifice, Lord, on the cross for us in Your blood. Can we pray, God, that You would just glorify Your name this week and next week as we spend these next times together, Lord, today looking at You arriving in Jerusalem, Lord, this Wednesday looking at the last meal You ate with Your followers and preparing for Your sacrifice. And we thank You for today. We ask You to open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and God, now by Your Holy Spirit, You would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, today I want to break this up in two sections, but when we look at this, the first way, I want to just basically look at the work that God is doing in Abraham's life. We've talked about the greatest sacrifice that Abraham ever gave in the last weeks that we've been meeting as we've been working up to this, and this is truly love's greatest sacrifice, Abraham's greatest sacrifice that he ever made and the greatest test that he ever had in his life. But understand this, God never brought Abraham to this test until Abraham was ready for this test, and I want us to be encouraged in that. You know, you read these stories about the testing of God, and especially this week as I've been reading about this, when I come to this and I think, God, this is a father with his son, and this is the greatest emotion you could ever have as a parent with a child, and what God is asking Abraham to do. And I think, Lord, what if You brought a test like that in my life? And God began to remind me, and God wants to remind us today, that if the Lord brings the type of test that He's bringing Abraham to today in our life, and at some point the Lord will, God will have us prepared. Remember, God didn't go to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees and say, you know, Abraham, hi, this is God, good to meet you, give your life to me, now take your family member and sacrifice them for me as a sacrifice. God never said that. God went to Abraham and said, follow me. And then as He followed him over the years, He took him through different tests and different trials as He grew him and as He matured him. And finally, He got him to a place where He said, Abraham, it's time now for you to go to places you've never been before in your walk with me. And so now I want you to do something that you never dreamed you would be asked to do. And I'm going to find out your level of obedience, your level of love, and what I've called you to do. And God brings this great sacrifice into Abraham's life that He asks him to do. But again, it was done after many, many years of testing and many years of maturity and many years of growth. So know that God will not lay around you more than you can handle, and God will not put you in any situation test-wise that he has not prepared you to deal with. And so, again, you may ask the question, well, why does God even give tests? I know that's a good question that I'd like to ask. You know, why do we even have them? You know, just do not have tests and trials. Why don't we just live life, go to heaven, and everybody be happy? I mean, it'd be a lot easier that way, don't you think? And yet, the Bible says that God has a specific purpose for tests and trials. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, notice what he says. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, note this, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's the reason God sends you through tests and trials. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God desires that you grow, that you mature, and the greatest thing he can do for you in love is to teach you how you can soar to the heights, how you can go to places you could never go without the tests and trials and the maturity that comes through those with the Lord. You know, the mother bird that pushes her little one out of the nest does not do it to hurt it, but she does it to teach it to soar to heights it's never been before. And again, God wants us to learn to go to heights that we've never been before. And likewise, God knows now that Abraham is ready to fly, but it's something that Abraham must see for himself. And when God brings us to tests, he knows that we are ready to pass them, but we need to see that ourselves. And God wants us to experience that. Now, I don't know about you guys, but again, I kind of like things to hold steady. I don't really like change that much, but the only way that God can grow us and take us where he wants us to be is to bring us through change. Now, we've got this little hamster by the name of Chip, and he puts his little nest together, and he chomps. You know, the gerbils, they're chewers, and so you throw, like, stuff in there, and, you know, we throw in their cardboard, you know, and he chews it up, and sticks, and he chews it up, bottles, cans, metal. No, I'm just kidding. But we put things in there for him to chew up, and he makes this huge big nest in the corner, and he's got this nice little cozy hole that he goes down in, and he pops out to say hi ever so often, and it's really neat. But you know, ever so often, we have to go and dump that cage out. And the reason we have to dump that cage out is because we need to clean it out. There's some things in his life that need to be gotten rid of. And God comes to us oftentimes, and although we have worked so hard on our cozy little nest that feels so nice and warm and snug, God suddenly dumps it out and says, I have something new. I've got to clean this out of your life and give you something brand new. And that's exactly what God is doing in Abraham's life. And that's what God does in our lives through tests and trials. And so understand, when God brings you through them, God has a purpose. And it's because he does love you, not because he doesn't, and because he wants to do a work and change your life. Well, notice what he does here with Abraham. Verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Now again, we see that God has now prepared him for this trial, and now God sends him into this test. And notice God says to Abraham, take now your son, your only son. Now it's interesting, he calls him his only son, and yet we all know about Ishmael. And why is that important? Because notice, God doesn't recognize the works of the flesh. And remember, Ishmael was what? A work of the flesh. God had promised he would do a work through Abraham and Sarah in their life and give them their own child. They decided to help God out. And God says, now take your son, your what? Your only son, not your one of two. And again, not that God didn't know that Ishmael existed. He certainly did. But again, God making the point in Scripture that he does not recognize the work of our flesh. And Ishmael was a work of the flesh. And again, this is why we need to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do and not what we're wanting to do. Because when we stand before God on that day, the Bible says that everything we've done in our flesh will be seen as wood, hay, and stubble, and God will burn it away. There'll be no eternal reward. It is literally, note this, wasted time. What that means is we need to be diligent to seek the Lord and say, God, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to do things in my own strength and in my own flesh. I don't want all this wood, hay, and stubble. I mean, I've got this image, I think, of all the years I've tried to do things in my own strength. And I don't want, they've probably got this huge pile of stuff around me. I probably look like Chip's cage. You know, and then when God breathes out, it's all going to burn up. And there's going to be like me there with this like little sparkler or snapping pop. That's going to be it. You know, it's going to be like, this is what I did by the Spirit? You know, it's going to be scary, I'm afraid. And so I seek God. I say, God, please don't let me do these things in my flesh. Let me do this by the Spirit. And yet, how many of us set out to do something for God? Guys, the heart is right. But make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do, because you're wasting your time. You're spinning your wheels, so to speak, in your hamster cage. You need to make sure you're doing what God wants you to do, or it's all going to be useless. It's all going to burn up. And so he says, take now your son, your only son, literally, It's take your only Isaac, whom you love. That's the literal translation. Take your only Isaac, whom you love. Why is that interesting? Remember, Isaac means laughter. And the Lord is now saying to Abraham, take now your only laughter, the only thing that brings you joy, fulfillment, enrichment, and give it to me. Wow. You see, God doesn't want to take our joy. He doesn't want to take our laughter. He doesn't want to ruin our life. He just wants to know that we're willing to lay it down. No matter how much we love it, he wants to make sure that we love him more. We're going to see before it's done, God gives him his son back. And so it's not a matter of taking his son and taking his joy, but now he presents Abraham with this test, this trial. Abraham, will you lay down what means the most to you? What brings you the greatest laughter, your only joy, the thing that means everything? Will you lay it at my feet and give it to me? And again, why would God ask such a thing? I can imagine when he says this, take the one whom you love and, you know, and give him to me as a burnt offering. It must have made his heart sink. God, how could you do this? I mean, wasn't this your idea? Didn't you give me Isaac? Didn't you promise all these years and now deliver him? And now you're saying, take my laughter, my joy, the promise that I've waited for my whole life and lay it at your feet? Yes, that's what I'm asking you to do, Abraham. And here's why. Because I want to make sure that I am supreme in your life and you love me above all other things. And the only way I can know that is to get you to take what I know you love the most down here and lay it down for me. And there's going to come a day God's going to ask you to do the same thing. And the question is, are you going to respond? What's your response going to be? But Lord, and you know what? God's probably already asked you to do that. Lay down what means the most. And you said, you know what? I can lay down part of it. But, you know, certainly, God, you've given all things richly to enjoy. And yes, I have. But I want to find out if you'll lay everything down for me. I want to see that you'll give it all to me. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I, as you know, come from a background of playing music as well. And I remember God put in my heart, he said, Mark, lay your guitar down. Now, I didn't understand. He didn't tell me why. He didn't say why to lay my guitar down. He just said, Mark, lay your guitar down. And that might seem like a small sacrifice to some of you, but when that's all that I knew at that time, that was my life. That's what I did. That's how I made my living. God said, lay it down. Don't play it again. Lay it down. But he didn't say, later, I'll let you take it up. He just said, lay it down. And I laid it down. And 6 months later, the Lord said to me, now pick it back up. And I remember when he spoke and said, now you can start playing your guitar again. Why? He said, because I wanted to make sure that I was really number one in your life. Because up until the point you gave your life to me, that guitar and other things were. Now I know I'm number one. Now you can do all these things I've given you richly to enjoy. And you see, guys, there may be things in your life that God's going to ask you to lay down, not because he's taking them away from you forever, and not because he wants to take your joy and your laughter, but God is saying, I want to be first. I must be first, not because he's some egomaniac. It's because he knows that if we lay down our life for him, we will truly find life. He wants us to walk in fullness of life. He wants us to walk in joy of life. And the only way we can do that is to not only lay down our life for him, but to lay everything we love down at his feet. Let me ask you this morning, are there things that you're holding back you haven't laid down for the Lord? Because right now the Holy Spirit is saying, lay them at my feet. If you love me, lay them down, because I will give them back. And trust me in this, God will not only give it back, he'll give back way more than you ever laid down for him. God will not be outgiven. And I'll tell you this, God will not be out-sacrificed. And what Satan will try to tell you is, but I can't, this is too big a sacrifice. Wait a minute. God will not be outdone, and you can rest in that. And so again, this was a lesson now that Abraham needed to learn. He needed to see that he loved the giver more than the gift. And oftentimes we love the things we have more than the one who gave them to us. And so no, he says, no, I've got to be first. My love must be supreme. You have to have supreme love for me over all things. And again, there will be times when God will ask you to do things that will make absolutely no sense at all, but he's testing your love and your obedience. And so rather than trying to figure it out, simply be obedient and say, all right, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Can you imagine facing Sarah? You know, the Bible doesn't say he said anything to Sarah. God says, go now and sacrifice your son. In verse 3, it says he rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two men with him and Isaac, his son, and split wood for the burnt offering. And he rose and went to the place of which God had told him. But it doesn't mention anything about Sarah knowing about this. And now Abraham realizes, not only do I have to go sacrifice my son, but what do I tell Sarah when I come back? You see, Sarah has waited her entire life for this child as well. And no doubt the child was even more important to Sarah. Yes, there were the emotional ties by both Abraham and Sarah, but there was that biological drive that she'd had her entire life, and God had dropped a child into her lap. And now she finally had everything she'd always wanted. He's got to come home and say, guess what, honey? Where's Isaac? You need to sit down. We need to talk. In one fell swoop of obedience, he could lose his wife and his son. And yet Abraham said, it's all worth it. Because, Lord, I know your faithfulness and I know your eternal glory that waits. And you see, that's when it comes to tests and trials where we don't always understand, because we have to have our eyes on the eternal. This is temporary down here. And what God has waiting for us in heaven is much greater. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. And although we may go through pain, although we will go through pain down here, God has a reason, God has a purpose, and the reward will be much greater than the pain that we suffered down here. We simply need to trust him, and we simply need to believe. Let me ask you this. Do you have a cutoff point of where you will or will not sacrifice to God? Is there a cutoff point in your life this morning? Oh, I'll give God this much, but I won't go beyond that. Guys, if there's a cutoff point, you've not reached the place that Abraham had reached. And God is going to continue to test you and to grow you until you get to that place. Why? Because he loves you. And he knows that that is where the great reward is. Again, Jesus said, if you want to find your life, you need to lose your life. And Jim Elliot is the one that said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What a lesson there is for us in that, and what a lesson there was for Isaac and Abraham here in this particular passage. And I say Isaac as well, because we'll see that he was a willing partner in all this, and we'll get to that. But notice God asked Abraham to give him as a burnt offering. You see, the burnt offering in Scripture represents complete surrender. You had the peace offering, that means you want peace with God. You had the fellowship offerings, all these different offerings that represented different things. The burnt offering specifically meant I'm holding nothing back. Because when you gave other offerings, you would lay them on the altar and you would get part of it back. The priest would give you part of that leg of lamb and you got to eat it. And it represented fellowship with God. Even as Jesus said, unless you eat of me and drink of my blood, it was a symbol there the Lord was drawing on, where they would give the sacrifice and eat part of it. It was saying, look, I want to become a part of you. I want you to become a part of me. But not so in the burnt sacrifice. In the burnt sacrifice, everything was on the altar. And every bit of it was burned till it was completely gone, completely ashes, nothing left. And the Lord said to Abraham, I want everything. Everything. I want it all laid on the altar. And God would say to us the same thing this morning. I want everything. I want it all laid on the altar. Don't hold anything back if you truly want to obey me and if you truly want to love me. God said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Now, again, sometimes Tali will ask me, Dad, do you love me? And I'll say, yes. She'll say, then obey me. Now, that's not what God was talking about. She's sharp. But the bottom line is God is saying, no, if you love me, obey me. And so, again, God wanted to see Abraham's heart in this. And notice again, he rose, we said, as he rose early, saddled his donkey. Now, again, this amazes me. It says he rose early in the morning. If this was the verse for me, at least this time of my life, it probably would have been. And he got up really late, hoping that maybe God would change his mind. But notice Abraham's obedience. Remember the first part of Abraham's life, he procrastinated. He put everything off. Not now. God has brought him to a place where he has learned that God is faithful and God is true and God is just. And he rises early to go do the hardest thing he's ever done in his life. What level of obedience this was that was in his heart by this time. It would have been so easy to put it off to see if God would change his mind. But true love demands immediate obedience. And as he took his donkey and his men and they headed off. And notice verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Notice it took 3 days to get there. I tried to imagine what these 3 days were like. Can you imagine the night he slept that night before he left? He probably didn't sleep any at all. And then he travels exhausted and he goes to bed again and probably laying there going, God, how do I handle this? You've got to help me, Lord. What do I do? And the agony that he went through as the nights passed by, then the next night and the agony that he went through, he's saying, God, is this really your voice? Is this really what you want me to do? But Lord, I'll do everything you say. I'll lay it all down for you. And now we find out that he's doing that and he continues to go, not changing his mind, but hoping that God would change his. And it says, and Abraham said to his young men, this is once they arrived there, after 3 days, stay here with the donkey and the lad, or with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Notice the confidence of Abraham in the midst of this agony. And why is that? Notice he says, we will come back to you. But remember, he had had days of prayer now as he traveled with his son, doing this act of obedience, crying out to God in this agony. And God had now ministered to Abraham's heart. And Abraham realized, you know what? Even if God has to raise Isaac from the dead, I believe it'll do it. Because God has promised me that through the seed of Isaac, the world would be blessed and that I would be blessed and that my descendants would carry on. How do we know that? Because in Hebrews 11, 17, it says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead. Note that. He's saying, if I have to put Isaac to death, I believe in God's goodness and power to even raise him from the dead because God has made promises to me. Guys, how many of us have trouble believing the promises of God just in basic things, much less that God would raise someone from the dead? And yet Abraham is at a place to where now he's saying, you know what, God, I know that you're going to do this. And note this also. It says they went alone. They left their family and friends behind. You see, Sarah was home. The servant stayed at the foot of the mountain. And it was none but Abraham and Isaac that treaded up the hill together. Now, why do I bring that up? Because there are tests in life that we go through where God grants us our brothers and sisters in the Lord around us and our family and friends. And then there are times in our life when God says, this one you go alone. Why does God do that? Because God wants us to learn that even when we are alone, we are not alone. And if we completely depend on Him, we will find that He is completely faithful and sufficient for everything we need. Guys, I want to warn you of something. There's going to come a day that God's going to send you through a trial, and the church is going to, in your eyes, fail you. Nobody called. Nobody visited. They didn't do what I expected. Note this, that is God's design oftentimes, so that you might learn not to depend on the body of Christ, but that you might learn to depend on the only one that can truly bring you fulfillment, and that is Jesus the Christ, the head of the body of Christ. It doesn't mean we're not to be there for each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord, but God had to bring Abraham to a place and Isaac to a place to where they didn't have anyone else to fall on. They didn't have anyone else to depend on. They had to trust completely in God, and it's a wonderful, wonderfully terrible place to be. I've been there, not in a test like this. But I've had tests to me that were great for where I was in my walk. And I found oftentimes that there's no one there to help. It's simply the Lord. And when you have the Lord, you have more help than you could ever want. But we have to learn that God is sufficient in all things. So Abraham now treads the hill alone with his son. Notice verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and said, or rather, and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. And then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now notice this, again, how horrible and agonizing it would have been to have to sacrifice your own son, but have to build the altar to do it. You see, when he got there, he had to take the stones and build this altar. They were to build earthen altars. I can imagine, here's Abraham, and he's picking up these stones one by one as being aged and being not as strong and laying these in place and realizing what he's doing. It's like, what am I doing? I'm building the altar to sacrifice my own son. And hearing his son, no doubt, say, Dad, let me help you. Not knowing yet that he was the sacrifice. And grabbing the stones and putting the stones, helping his dad build the altar that would take his life. And his dad just inside, you know, being broken and thinking, God, how could this be happening? Now, it's interesting here. Again, if you've seen many of the childhood stories and growing up, you always see Abraham traveling up the hill with this child. And yet when we do the calculation of Abraham's age and Sarah's age, we can determine that Isaac was in his 30s by this time. He was no small lad. And again, that gives it all the more reason that we see that not only was Abraham being obedient to the Lord, this 30-some-year-old man could have easily taken Grandpa on and gotten out of there.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.